Thank you so much, Dennis, for sharing God's message through music. And, you know, if we don't have hope for tough times, then what is this message really all about? Amen. Psalm 103, verse 1 says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of His benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit." Maybe you're here today and your life is in the pit. And today, God would just want to say, in the midst of it all, I want to give you hope. I want to give you security. I want to give you confidence and assurance. And that's what we're going to study about in God's Word. I invite you to turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. 1 John 5:13. You know, since becoming a Christian, I've had the opportunity to talk to many, many people about their personal relationship with Christ. And one of the most important questions that I think you can ever ask anyone is this: do you know for certain that you have eternal life and that you will go to heaven when you die? Do you know that for sure? When I've asked people that question, many, if not most, have answered something like this: well, I hope so, but can anybody really know for sure? I think I'm a good person. I try to do the right things and help others. I hope that God one day will accept my life as good enough. But wouldn't it be nice this morning if you knew, if you could know that you are secure in your relationship with God? How would that change your life? To know that God accepts you right now. To know that He is with you right now. To know that you will, without a doubt, be with Him one day in heaven forever and ever. Wouldn't that be an amazing thing to be sure about today? Well, I've got good news for you. You can know for sure where you stand with God. You can know that you have a relationship with God, and a relationship that will last forever, that nothing, we're going to see in God's Word today, nothing, what did I say? Nothing can ever change. 1 John chapter 5, verse 13, it says, "These things have I written to you who believe on the name of the Son of God, that you may be reasonably sure, know that you have eternal life." Today we're finishing up our series, Coming Back to God. And I thank the Lord that many of you have shared with me how God has used these messages in your life to encourage you. Because some of you maybe didn't know Christ before we started this, and now you've found Christ as your Savior, and you know that you're the kind of person, just like us, that Christ wants to give His hope to. Many of you have told me that, hey, I'm a Christian, but you know, we kind of get in this trap of we've got to kind of keep our little happy face and our little, you know, keep our shine to us. And if I ever kind of appear out of sync with everybody else, I feel a little guilty, feel a little ashamed, feel like maybe I'm not the kind of person God wants to work in and through anymore. And I've realized through this study that God still loves me, that I've failed, that I've made mistakes, that I've sinned against Him even. But you know what? I've realized that His forgiveness cleanses all of that. And if I'll just turn to Him and trust in Him and renew my commitment to Him, that He'll take me and work in me and work through me just like He wanted to in the first place. I thank God that many of you have shared that. And as we finish up this emphasis today, I believe that God wants us to have complete assurance in our hearts. He wants all of us to come to a place where we know that we have a relationship with Him and a relationship that is secure. You see, because I believe that many people today, and probably many of us, are just not sure about that. And because of that, they're trying their best to earn their way to God. Hopefully, I can do enough to make Him happy. Or you know what? Many people, and I'd say if I didn't have a personal relationship with Christ and I didn't understand the security that I could have in Him, this is probably where I'd be. You'd probably just give up. Hey, look, I know I can't get it right. I know I make mistakes. I mean, the honest truth is, I look at my life, I know that it's not good enough to get to God. And so we just give up. We quit trying. Both of those cause problems, don't they? For those of you here today trying to earn your way to God, doesn't that put a lot of pressure on yourself? Aren't you always wondering, will I ever get it right in life? And don't you have a fear in your heart that, you know, one day I'm going to have to give an account for my life. I'm going to have to stand in front of God. And I hope, but I'm just not sure if it's going to be enough. What a way to live our lives. Many of us have had parents like that, haven't we? It was never quite good enough. And we feel like that's the way it's going to be with God. For those who've given up on that, it's confusing, isn't it? We're just not sure what He expects, but we're pretty sure that whatever it is, we don't measure up. And so we just give up. Why try? Why struggle? You may as well live life the best you can and hope that it ends up good for you in the end. Today we want to talk about, can I really know for sure? In my personal relationship with God, can I ever come to that point of confidence? And we want to answer that by looking at two questions that come out of this verse in 1 John chapter 5, verse 13. The first question is, have you trusted in Jesus? Can you know for sure? Can you know for sure where you stand with God, that your sins have been forgiven, that you're going to heaven one day, that you have a relationship with Him that'll never leave you? Now, the thing we're really wanting to focus on this verse is really the second part of verse 13. But before we get to that, we need to take note of who this promise or who this assurance is going to be given to. The promise is given, it says, to who? These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. It's given, it's written to those who believe in the name of the Son of God. Now, actually, that word believe there is the Greek word for faith. And we don't translate it that way because it sounds kind of weird, doesn't it? If we said, these things I've written to you who faith in the name of the Son of God, wouldn't that sound weird? We don't use it that way in English, but that's exactly what it means. It means to faith or to put our trust in the Son of God. He's saying these things have been written to those who trust in Jesus. Now, let me be real clear here. Many people would say, I believe in Jesus. I believe in Jesus. But what they're saying many times is, I believe in my head that there was a man named Jesus, that He came to this earth, that He was the Son of God. They believe that He existed. But this word believe, the New Testament sense of it, is to faith in or to trust in. It's not just believing facts, but it's demonstrating trust. So in a statement where God leads John to share with us how we can be sure about a relationship with God, he emphasizes that it first comes by believing in or trusting in Jesus. And he specifically says it comes by believing or trusting in Jesus' name. And you've probably heard me share before that a name in Bible times meant something. It was significant. It represented something special about that person, about their character, about maybe how they were born, or about their parents' hopes for that person's life, or something significant about their life. So what this is saying is, you can have certainty, and I can have certainty, about where I will spend eternity when I am trusting in Jesus' name, in His character, in who He is, and all that His name represents. So let's think about, what does the name of Jesus represent today? When we're talking about, don't we pray many times in Jesus' name? We just kind of tag that at the end of prayers because we know we're supposed to pray in Jesus' name. But I want you to even think about that. When you pray your prayers and you finish your prayer and you say, in Jesus' name, amen, I want you to think about the things we're going to share today. In Jesus' name means that I'm praying this, trusting that it represents and lines up with all that Jesus is, with all that He's about, that all that He wants to accomplish. The Bible says that Jesus' name, in and of itself, is the only name given under heaven among men by which we can be saved. Acts chapter 4, verse 12. The Bible just comes out and says it clearly. There is no other way for us to know that we've been rescued from our sins and given a personal relationship with God except through the name of Jesus. And when we hear His name, it represents a lot of things, but we're just going to look at a few here this morning. It represents, His name reminds us of His promises. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Some of you children in Awana are learning this verse. For He Himself has said, I will never leave you, nor will I ever forsake you. He's promised to have that kind of commitment to you when you trust in Him. When you hear the name of Jesus, When you are talking about trusting in His name, you're trusting in His promises. You're also trusting in His power. I want to read to you out of John chapter 10, verse 27. You want to hear how powerful Jesus is? My sheep, He says, hear My voice, and I know them. Aren't you glad He knows you? My sheep hear My voice, and I know them, and they follow Me. And listen to what He says. And I give, and we're going to come back to this here in just a moment, and I give eternal life to them, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of My hand. My Father, who has given them to Me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. Jesus tells us about His power. He puts two Greek words together that are words of negation, or words that are kind of saying not. Okay, this thing is not true. It means not at all or by no means. And so here's what He says when He says no one, it says they will never perish. It means by no means should they or might be. There's no chance is what it's saying. It's putting away to say there is no chance whatsoever that they can ever be destroyed. It's a double negative. It's a strong denial that something can happen. Then it adds, I want you to pay attention to this, it says, there's just no way that this could happen. And then it adds the phrase, into forever. What would we say? Infinity. Isn't that what we do? You say, I'm going to say I'm sorry first. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, infinity, right? we want to finish it. That means forever and ever. And that's what it says in the Bible. It says, no one can ever do this. Infinity. That's pretty strong, isn't it? That's about as strong as you could put it to say God has the power, when you trust in Him, to keep you from never, ever, ever perishing. And then He talks about His presence. Christ tells us, He gives us His promises, His power, but His presence, that when He saves us, He personally comes to dwell with us through His Spirit that He has put in our hearts. I want to read to you a couple of verses that demonstrate what Christ does through His Spirit. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 5 says, now He who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave to us the Spirit as a pledge. We're going to come back to that. I want to read to you one other verse, though. Ephesians chapter 1, verses 13 through 14. In Him, now this sums it all up, in Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel or good news of your salvation, having also believed or trusted in Him, guess what happened to you? You were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance with a view to the redemption of God's own possession to the praise of His glory. God, He says, you hear that both in both those verses, God has given His Spirit as a pledge. Some of your translations say as a down payment or as a guarantee. And really what the idea there is that it was like a loan. In Bible times, when you took out a loan, you put down a pledge or a guarantee. We might say a deposit today. Okay, we want to put it that way. Some of your translations maybe say that. That deposit is a guarantee. In Bible times, and many times we see that today, is a guarantee. I'm putting the first installment down on this loan. I'm making the first payment, and that means that I intend to make every payment. Now, don't miss this. When God puts His Spirit in your heart, this is amazing. When God puts His Spirit in your heart, He says, I just don't want you to be wondering about this. When My Spirit comes to live in your heart, He is the evidence, the down payment, the deposit on everything that you're going to receive from Me. When God makes payments, He never stops making them. Amen? We don't have to foreclose on the Lord's payments, all right? He is going to finish every single one. So there's a sense in which I'm not all that I'm going to be yet. There's a lot of work that God wants to do in my life, and one day He's going to change me and make me all that He intended for me to be. So in a sense, that's not all finished yet. But listen, because His Spirit lives in my heart, it is evidence that it will be. It's not yet, but there is no chance that it cannot be finished. He who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ Jesus, according to Philippians 1:6. Isn't that amazing? So if God's Spirit lives in your heart, you have His presence in your life, giving evidence that it will be finished. There is no chance, when you've trusted in Christ and His Spirit lives in your heart, that His work cannot be finished in your life. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that freeing today? Another idea behind that word that's used, guarantee, I can't even get it off anymore. I guess my hands are swollen here, so I can't get my wedding ring off. But this was at one time an engagement ring, all right? Now, in Bible times, when they engaged with somebody, when they were getting engaged for marriage, that was so serious that they were basically considered married. They just haven't consummated their marriage by their wedding night yet. There was kind of an interval there for different reasons. But when they gave that engagement ring, the idea was that I have married you. We are going to have our wedding day. That same word that's used for deposit is the word that they use for engagement ring. God has given us His Spirit as the engagement ring. Because I have this engagement ring, it tells me that I am going to have a wedding one day. Amen? I am going to be married to Jesus Christ. I'm the bride of Christ. You are the bride of Christ. We are going to have a wedding day if we have the engagement ring. Isn't that exciting? You have your ring on? You have His Spirit living in your heart? If you do today, you are going to have a wedding day with Jesus Christ. We don't have time today to exhaust the name of Jesus, what all it means and it represents. We could read about, listen, some of you are going to be taking the study with Jeff on the book of Hebrews. I'm telling you, we arm wrestled over who was going to get to teach that book because I wanted to teach it. Now, I love the book of Hebrews, and I want to preach that through that at some point with you. But listen, the book of Hebrews is so strong because it talks about Jesus' priesthood. And about His sacrifice. When you're talking about the name of Jesus, you're talking about He's the one who personally represents you before God. He's your priest. He also is the sacrifice that the priest brings in. He's the presenter and He's the presentee, right? I mean, He's the sacrifice itself. He has covered every ground, Hebrews chapter 7, verse 9 tells us. John chapter 19, verse 30 tells us when you're talking about Jesus, you're talking about His finished work. For your sin, for my sin. He said, it is finished. It is done what needed to happen for you and for me. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. Titus 3, verses 4 through 6. We were talking about His grace. We're talking about His kindness, His mercy. When we trust in Jesus' name, we're trusting in all that His name represents. So in order for us to be sure, we first of all need to faith in His name. We need to trust or believe in His name. So the obvious question is, have you trusted in the name of Jesus? No, I mean really, I want you to think about that. Have you trusted in the name of Jesus? I don't mean have you said the right words in a prayer. I don't mean are you a faithful attender at church, a faithful giver, whatever you want to say. I don't mean have you been baptized or gone through a certain class. Listen, I don't want you to put it in a religious context of, yeah, I've done that. I want you to think about the true meaning of what that phrase means. Have you trusted in Jesus? Have you put your life in His hands? Have you said, I know who He is, I know His name, I understand what all that represents, and I am placing my life in His hands? Have you done that? Listen, my friend, you might be here today and you say, you know what? 3 years ago, I prayed a prayer, but I'm not so sure I've ever trusted in Jesus. That is what God's so concerned about. He doesn't give a pat prayer that we're supposed to pray or anything like that. There's ways that we can confess our sins and express ourselves to Him. Sure, we can do that. But it's not just saying the right words. He wants you and me to trust Him. Are you trusting in Jesus' name? If you are, you can be certain. Because He says, these things have I written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God. If you haven't believed in His name, if you haven't put your trust in His name, you can't really go beyond that. But if you say, yes, I have, then here's a second question. Do you believe what He says? He says, these things I've written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. John said, I write these things, the Word of God that He's been sharing with these people, and I write it to those who are trusting in Jesus' name, and I write it with the purpose that they could know that they have, what's that sound like? Right now, doesn't it? That they have eternal life. Now, let's think about each one of those words. That word know is the word that we get our word video from. It means so that you could see it, so that you could recognize it. Jesus says, I want you to know. I want you to look over here at what I'm trying to tell you. I want you to see my word, to understand it, to perceive and to recognize that's what I have. God wants you to know it, to recognize it. I have eternal life. He says that we who trust in Christ, he says, I want you to know that you have, or that you, the word that's used for have is to hold something or to possess it. And before we look at what that something is, I want you to understand that the way it's put here, that to have or to hold or to possess, is put in the present tense. It means we already, right now, have it. I want you to hear this verse that just God's used so much in my life to speak to me and to help me to be able to share with others. John chapter 5, verse 24. Jesus says, truly, truly, I say to you, he who hears my word and believes, there's that word trust, trusts in him, believes in him who sent me, has eternal life and does not come into judgment, but has passed out of death into life. Listen, you're not waiting till you die to have eternal life. If you have received Christ as your Savior, the Bible says you can know, you can recognize today, you can see it on the screen of life. You can say, God, I see it. I recognize it. That I possess, I hold in my hands, I have right now, currently, life that will last forever. Isn't that exciting? Isn't that freeing today? That I'm not waiting to get to heaven to find out. You know, roll the dice. Hopefully when I get there, you know, what a way to live our lives in fear. Over and over, God's Word tells us we can know we are children of God and that we'll be like that forever. John chapter 17, verse 3, and so many other verses refer to this. Did you hear it in John 5, 24 when I read it? You can know that you have what kind of life? Eternal life. That means life that lasts forever. That Ephesians 1 verse that we read earlier, do you remember we were talking about the down payment idea? But did you also hear in that verse where it was talking about an idea of sealing, that God seals us? Now, when you seal someone, it says, when he says, after you listen and after you heard the message, after you believed, you were sealed in him. What does a seal do? A seal signifies ownership, doesn't it? Usually a seal has a symbol on it, a symbol of the one it represents. You have the seal of God on your heart. So if anybody, if the enemy or anybody wants to know who do you belong to, you've got God's seal on you. And it's not meant to be broken, is it? A seal protects the contents on the inside, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit of God, when you receive Christ as your Savior, becomes your identification as Christ's child and your protection as Christ's child. He marks you and He protects you. And then I got to go back to Romans 8 that we just talked about a little bit last week, but I held out on verses 35 through 39 because I knew we were coming back this week. It says, now you remember we talked about who will bring a charge against God's elect, and we did the courtroom scene where we said, okay, we're going to say, we're going to bring a charge against Robbie. You guys are going to accuse me of everything you could possibly think of. And then Jesus, my defense attorney, is going to say, wait just a minute. I'm the one that he's done all this to, and I say that he's okay. In light of that, who will separate us, verse 35? Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation? Right now you're going through the darkest time in your life and you're wondering, is God going to kick me out? It may be because of something you've done or because of something else going on in your life that was beyond your control. Will God still accept me as His child through this? Will tribulation? Will distress? Will persecution? Can anybody ever take your relationship with Christ away? No matter how bad they treat you or abuse you or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, just as it is written, for your sake we're being put to death all day long. We were considered as sheep to be slaughtered. Verse 36 is basically saying, yes, God's children are going to go through difficult times, and many times because they've chosen to walk with Christ. But in verse 37 it says, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer. That's strong, isn't it? We overwhelmingly conquer. We don't just make it. We don't just get by. We overwhelmingly conquer through Him who loved us. And then verse 38, for I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing. No thing, right? Nothing. Nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. because Jesus is my defense, because He takes up for me, because He's praying for me and interceding for me on behalf of me with the Father, the Bible says there is nothing that will ever come between me and the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Nothing can, because it would have to get through Christ, and nothing is as powerful as Him. Do you believe what He says? Some of us have a hard time believing all this. But you have to ask yourself a question. What are you going to base your confidence or your lack of confidence on? Are you going to base it on your own opinions? Now listen, and some of us need to hear this. Are you going to base it on the opinions of a particular religious group? Some of you have trouble believing God's Word because you've had it pounded in your head over the years, maybe even by a religious group or another church that has told you, you better stay in line. Because if you get out of line, God might just kick you out. That's not what the Bible teaches. Nothing will ever separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Do you believe what Christ says? His Word says you can know for sure. Now, I know this brings up some questions, so let's think about it. Are you saying, this is the most common, are you saying that people can accept Christ and they can just live like they want to? If it's not based on us, if it's based on Christ, if there's no way we can lose this relationship, aren't we opening the door for people to take advantage of the situation? This is risky, isn't it? I mean, if we let word get out, and I want to be honest with you, there have been religious groups throughout history that haven't wanted people to have God's Word because they were afraid if God's Word and God's truth got in average people's hands, in just the common person's hands, that could be dangerous because you guys can't handle it. You need an expert to tell you what it's all about. That's what many religious groups have thought. Are we sure that people can handle this? Well, number one, I can assure you of something. God will not be taken advantage of. No one's going to catch Him by surprise. No one's going to fool Him. He's not going to say, man, Robbie is just so sharp. I mean, I had this whole thing figured out. I thought I had it all lined up, and He got by me. Let me show you, though, where God's Word deals with this. Romans chapter 6. Romans 6 verse 1. If you just study God's Word, and that's what we're doing here today, God has the answers for all of our questions. Romans chapter 1 verse 5 is just a wonderful explanation of all that God has done for us. In chapter 5, it brings to kind of a crescendo where it's saying, you know what? What God's done is so wonderful that where sin just abounds in this world, grace abounds even more. And then in chapter 6, it says, so what shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin so that grace may increase? Hey, if where there's a lot of sin, there's a lot of grace, then let's sin it up. I mean, let's have some more grace to go around. Paul says, may it never be. Some of your translations say, God forbid. It literally says, this should never happen. May it never become is what it's saying. But the sense there might be, God forbid, how shall we who died to sin still live in it? Well, and it goes on there to talk about how if I am truly, now this is the key, if I am truly a child of God, I can't be comfortable living in sin, can I? I can't be comfortable practicing sin. In fact, he talks about baptism there. He says, our baptism in verse 3, if you go down and read through that, our baptism should remind us that we said that when we received Christ, that we died with Christ, we were buried with Him, and we rose again in newness of life. Our baptism is a picture of what we were saying about that. Now, as we've learned in the weeks past, as we've been studying this, we are going to sin, aren't we? We are going to blow it. But if we know the Lord, we sure don't want to. Do you understand that? I am going to mess up. I'm going to make mistakes. I'm going to blow. I'm going to sin, but I don't want to. The Bible clearly indicates if we do continue to enjoy sin, to practice it easily without any concern, it's not that we would lose our salvation. It just indicates that we never had it in the first place. That's the key. So what God says is, I save you freely, I forgive you, I cleanse you freely, and if that happens, your life will change. Have you not sensed that? Is it not happening in your life? I mean, you can't even help it, can you? I remember when I first came to Christ, I wasn't even trying to do some of the following him. But doesn't he work in your heart? Isn't it neat? Some of you right now, God's been doing things in your life. And then when you come to church, you hear where it is in God's Word. Have you ever had God's Spirit speak to your heart? And you said, that sounds like God's trying to speak to me. Then you find out where it's true in the Bible. And you say, that was God. That was Him telling me to keep my mouth shut. That was Him telling me, you know, to be careful what I did there. That was Him. Isn't that exciting? God just starts working in your life if you're a child of God, and you can't even help it because the Spirit of the living God is working in your life. And thank Him for that. Another question that people ask, but aren't there verses that say we can lose our salvation? There are no passages that teach we can lose our salvation. There are warning passages, and we're probably going to look at those next time we're together. Hebrews 6, Hebrews 10, Galatians 5. There are passages that are warning passages in the New Testament. But I do not see any that clearly teach that a true believer can lose their salvation. And there are plenty, as we've seen today, that teach that our salvation is secure in Christ. We can truly know for sure. Now, it's possible we say, so what difference does this make? What difference does it make? I mean, we're talking about heaven. We're talking about God. What does that have to do with paying my bills? What does that have to do with raising my kids? What does that have to do with the way I live my life? Well, I would assert to you today, based on my experience and based on God's Word, that our lives will never truly be at peace until we have things right with God. Until we know that we're secure in Him. Until we know where we're heading one day. And then we have the confidence of knowing. Can you imagine heading out on a trip and not knowing where you're going? Isn't that disconcerting? Doesn't that bother you? Hey, let's get in the car, everybody. Let's go on a trip. Where are we going, Dad? I don't know. Is it going to be safe? Not sure. The bridge could be out up ahead, or it could just be smooth sailing. Wouldn't it be great to know? Wouldn't it be great to know that the God who created me got me in a position where I could come back into a relationship with Him? Wouldn't it be great to know that He lived in my heart, that He protected me? Because I sure know I can't protect myself. If it were up to me, I'd be in the ditch all the time. But I thank God that I've got a God who lives in my heart, who loves me, who walks with me, who helps me. Yes, He disciplines me. He corrects me. He teaches me. He challenges me. And one day He's going to receive me forever into His own home. Wouldn't that be powerful? Would that not change? You say, it doesn't affect my job, my career. You know, many people, I believe, are in a job right now for the wrong reason. Not because God called them to do that, not because they feel a strong sense of that's their contribution in this world or where God's put them, but because they're trying to get security by making the right amount of money. What if we had security in Christ? What if we knew that no matter what happened in our lives, that He would provide for our needs? Many people are bitter and they're angry in life because they're frustrated. They can't figure out what's missing. And so they snap at their children or their family or their husband or their wife or they've got a bad attitude or whatever it is, because ultimately, deep down in our hearts, we don't know where we stand with our God. And we're passing that on to our children, aren't we? They're watching that attitude. They're watching those priorities or the lack of them. And the cycle continues. How does this relate? I believe that it makes all the difference in the world. And not just in the world, but all the difference in eternity, doesn't it? Can I know, Robbie? Well, I can't promise you today. But if you turn to God's Word, He promises you can know today. You know what, friend, today? It's times like this where there are people who've thought for years that they were a Christian, realize, I've been saying the right things, I've been doing the right things, but I cannot really say that I have put my trust in Jesus Christ. And maybe for the first time in your life, you see it as purely and as cleanly, and with all the trappings pulled aside, you see it for what it truly is. Have I trusted in Jesus Christ? Have I banked my life and my eternity on all that He is? If you can't say yes to that, my friend, please do not be too proud to make that decision today. whether you thought you were a Christian or whether you knew you weren't, that you just didn't understand how or you just hadn't made that step, today you can know for sure. You know what? Maybe you're a Christian here today and you would say, Robbie, you know, really, this has helped me to think today. It's helped me to consider some things. But really, I'll be honest with you, I have trusted in Jesus. I struggle and I know I mess up and I need to know that I'm secure when I do. But if I really get down to the bottom of it, I know that I've received Christ as my Savior. Where I struggle is, I didn't know if it stuck. I didn't know if it took. You know what I mean by that? What I mean by that is, after I received Christ, I remember for several months after I received Christ, every night saying, "Dear Lord Jesus, please save me." Just one more time, "Dear Lord Jesus, please save me." Lord, I think I did last night, but just in case, "Dear Lord Jesus, please save me." But you know, when I began to understand the truth of 1 John 5:13, I don't say that anymore because I know He saved me. I know it's a done deal. If I ask some of you right now, do you know that you're a child of God? You would say yes. I'd say, how do you know that? Because I've accepted Him several times. Many people say that to me. You know what? Whichever time you meant it, that's the time it took. You don't have to keep saying it over and over again. God wants you to move forward. If you're not sure now, you nail it down. But if you know you've called out to God, you know you've trusted in Him, you don't have to live in that uncertainty. You can know today that's done. If today I wasn't sure if my wife and I were married, it'd be tough for me to preach, first of all. There'd be problems, wouldn't it? I don't have to keep going back to our wedding day. It's done. I've got the evidence, right? Today you can know. And that can make all the difference in the world. Christian, God's wanting to set you free. If you're not sure, you nail it down right now. But if you are, then press on. With the confidence of knowing that your God can keep you. Amen? What security. What safety. Some of us have never known that kind of safety, have we? We've never had a family that gave us that security. And it's hard for you to believe, but God is offering that to you today. Let's pray. God, I thank You for Your Word. And I thank You that Your Word teaches us that Your Word stands forever, that it will never change, that You will not change Your mind about this, that You will not later look up and see our lives and tell us, "Never mind, I didn't really mean that." Lord, Your Word actually teaches us that though we are faithless, You remain faithful. God, we sense that we blow it, that we mess up, that we make mistakes. And God, I need to know that I've got a safety cord attached to me, that no matter how far I fall, ultimately, I can never be separated from You. God, that's no license for sin. Lord, I pray today if some Christian's been taking advantage of You, of Your grace. You've been very kind and very gracious with them. You've been reaching out to them. Father, I do believe that You will discipline Your children. And I pray that, God, You'd speak to their hearts today. And that You'd call them back to a closeness of a walk with You. Lord, today somebody here is just not sure that they've ever placed their life in Your hands. Today I pray that they'd make that sure. Based upon Your Word, to have a relationship that would begin, that would last forever. Set people free today, Lord. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If God's speaking to your heart today, friend, if you need to make a decision based on what He said, Isaiah met with God. He was in the presence of God and said, "Wow." He began to see things about his life that he had not noticed. Maybe that's what's happened to you today. As you've stood in the presence of Almighty God, you've heard Him speaking through His Word. God's showing you things in your life that He's wanting to deal with.